Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Good to be with everyone today. It is the 20th day of December 2017. I'm coming off of a wonderful evening last night over in Neosho, which is north of where we live in Arkansas. It's in Missouri. And met with the saints of God last night and was given the gracious opportunity to minister the word. We had a wonderful time, very rich in the Holy Spirit. Always love being in Neosho with Jim and Bonnie. And in that evening, I really believe the Spirit of God moved uniquely and freshly, and it just was so fresh. I walked away just thinking, how rich was that Holy Spirit? Very, very rich time with the saints of God last night. I really believe God is moving in a wonderful way, and I trust that God is moving in a wonderful way in your life today. We're getting good reports from our friend Ken and Kathy up in South Dakota. As you know, Ken suffered a heart attack with two of his arteries were blocked. I believe that we have success in the stents that we're putting there, which I believe are just plastic tubes that open up the flow of the blood through those arteries. Amazing what science can do, huh? But best thing, keep those arteries unclogged, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, at least twice a year, you should be doing a cleanse in your body. You should be keeping your physical body cleansed. And if you don't know how to do that, let me know, and I'll tell you where to go. All you need to do is get a 21 days out of your life will add years to every organ in your body if you will just allow yourself to go through a cleanse, which is a 7 pathway of the body cleanse, by the way. Because, you know, if your body's healthy, your mind's going to be a little bit healthier too, isn't it? I mean, think about the condition of your mind when your body is sick. It's sluggish, it's down, it's depressed, you got to fight through. But when your body is healthy, your mind seems to be a lot healthier as well. And then we could always talk about the spiritual reasons why our bodies are sick. Maybe it's because of different, you know, spiritual attitudes. Maybe it's because of sin. I know that when there was a blind man, the disciples came to Jesus and said, "Jesus, who did sin, this man or his parents?" And Jesus said, "Neither one. This is for the glory of God." But they had a conditioned mindset that sickness was equated to sin. And a lot of times, sin opens the door to sickness and disease in our bodies. Now, very interesting, now that we're talking about this sickness, I want to just share with you that there's a report coming out, it's everywhere now, about North Korea testing anthrax as payload in its ICBMs. You know, we've constantly thought about the nuclear war, the EMP, and this is very, very interesting, because this goes all the way back to 2015, but let me just read a little bit of this article. A Japanese newspaper says that North Korea has begun to load anthrax onto its intercontinental ballistic missiles. Their report, cited by Bloomberg News, says the North is testing the biological agent to see if it can survive the immense temperatures the missiles generate. Just this week, the White House released a security paper noting that Pyongyang is pursuing chemical and biological weapons that could be delivered by missile. The U.S. has worked for years to prepare for the possibility of an anthrax attack. And y'all remember what anthrax is. It's deadly. Meanwhile, the U.S. is putting pressure on North Korea this week with a newly announced international group that will meet in Vancouver on January 16th to show solidarity against the North's nuclear program. Now, before going any further with that, let's go back to a report in May of 2015. The Pentagon publicly acknowledged that it had accidentally sent live anthrax to several labs across the United States and to Osan Air Base in South Korea. North Korea, back in 2015, reacted harshly. This was evidence of America's plan to use weapons of mass destruction against their people, Pyongyang claimed in its demand for an emergency United Nations meeting. The North Koreans also resurfaced a propagandistic, ahistorical charge that American forces had already once used biological weapons against them during the Korean War in the 1950s, when outbreaks of typhoid, cholera, and smallpox gripped the nation. Well, 10 days after the Pentagon notice, North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un toured the newly minted Pyongyang Biotechnical Institute, posing before cameras in front of a suspiciously large pesticide production facility that analysts say has the potential to produce anthrax on a massive military scale. And so how does this tie into Bible prophecy? Well, when you talk about plagues, when you talk about pestilence in the book of Revelation, you go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 91. These are those pestilences and plagues, and you know, whether it's the bubonic plague, the black plague. What was it? The black plague killed 50 million people, you know, a century ago. Was that so? Right around there. Absolutely amazing. Hey, I've asked a dear brother to join me on the air today. He's our technical guy. He's the gentleman that built the Omega Radio Network. His Kyle. And I've asked Kyle to join me today because I want to give some numbers. And then holding on the line from Australia is Daniel Seckham. So real quick, let me bring Kyle onto the airwaves. I said last week that he was going to announce some numbers for us about what the Omega Radio Network is doing after 8 months, coming into its 9 month of giving birth. So, Kyle, good morning. Welcome to the program, sir. What is the good news about this radio network?
Good morning, Pastor. I just want to do a quick number check with you on that whole bubonic plague thing there. Back in the Spanish flu of the 1900s killed 50 million. The bubonic plague killed over 100 million people.
100 million people. And now we're seeing
the Black Death.
The Black Death. Okay, that's what it was called. And now, you know, we're looking at North Korea. I don't know how the U.S. accidentally sends live anthrax to different laboratories. That's kind of strange. Back in 2015, didn't hear much about that.
Yeah, we don't. We don't accidentally send anything.
That's exactly right. All right. So, well, Kyle, we could get on this conversation for a long time. So, you're saying within 100 years. In one century, over 150 million people were killed by different plagues, whether it was the Spanish flu or the bubonic plague. 150 million people. Man, there's nearing 7 billion people on the planet today.
Yeah, that's correct.
Population.
What you wanted me to talk about was our numbers that we're generating from our radio station here.
Correct. Let's get into that.
Our program is doing well. We've covered the majority of the planet with broadcast, and which is beautiful, mainly here in the United States, of course, but also Australia, Russia, Korea, India, just to name a few, you know, Brazil, Argentina, some places like that, Israel, Turkey. But our numbers look decent since we've started this broadcast back in April. Our total number of listeners has been 174,754. Primarily, the bulk of that is from Blog Talk, which is great. Blog Talk's a great platform. And then followed behind that is our particular channel on our website. And then our newest part of the Omega Radio Network is SoundCloud, which is amazing. It's creeping up there slowly. I mean, right now from SoundCloud, we've got almost about 500 listeners. But from where we're getting these people listening from all over the planet, it's a beautiful thing to see. So we're growing. We're still young. We're still working out some of the kinks, and you know, coming up with ideas and stuff like that that we want to do here in the future. I think we're going to be very blessed next year. I foresee a major expansion of our listener base. And, you know, really, our message from the Watchmen to everybody else that's a host on our channel will be, you know, broadcast all over the world, which is a beautiful thing. So our numbers are looking good.
Well, Kyle, that's an outstanding report, and I've got this young man calling in from Australia right now, our dear friend and brother, Daniel Seckham. If we could just get him to get his spot on the Omega Radio Network. So I'm bringing him on the air right now, Kyle, for you to tell him what he has to do. Go ahead.
Hey, Daniel.
Hey, Kyle. Good to hear from you, buddy.
Good to hear from you, too. How are you doing over there in Australia?
Doing well.
Well, we'd definitely like to get you on. I've got everything queued up for you. All you have to do is start sending us material, and we'll get you in our lineup. I think what you have to say, it blends well, obviously, with Pastor having you on The Watchmen Live often. I think you having your own spot on our station would be a very good boon, not just for you and the people in Australia, but for our channel and everybody across the globe. So I don't know what it's going to take to really nudge you over there to get that, but.
Well, the Aussies are, you know, they move a little slower than us, but yeah, go ahead, Daniel.
you're absolutely right. It's all going to come together quite soon. I've just had some things I've had to get out of the way, but I'm really looking forward to it. Actually, this is something I definitely need to get off the ground. So, working on it, and I've already organized some people who will be guests on the program. So, that's happening. That's happening. I've got a bunch of different topics I've worked out, so I can plan it in advance. It's coming together. I've just got a few technical things I need to sort out, and then I'll start to be able to send across some audio files.
Okay. Very good. And if there's any further delays, we're going to send Kyle to you. And we'll
definitely get you up and running there, Daniel.
Yeah, there you go. We've got great numbers, nearing 175,000 listeners on the Omega Radio Network in less than 9 months. We're not even in the birthing stage yet, and it's on the way. So, Kyle, it was a year ago in December of 2016 that the Lord put in my heart to build this Omega Radio Network, and you and Paul came alongside, and you guys did it. And here we are now from the official launch in April to December. And we're moving forward, and this is awesome. And, Daniel, we're so glad to have you. So, Kyle, thank you for filling us in on the numbers, and we'll keep bringing you back into the okay? All right, my brother.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, thank you so much. Shalom. Have a blessed day. And, Daniel, once again, welcome to the broadcast, my friend. What is going on? What is in your heart today for the people that are tuned in and listening?
Well, there's a bunch of different things that we could discuss that are going on in and around the world at the moment. I think it's always wise to begin with what's happening in Israel. As we know, the Bible prophecy is Israel-centric. There's been a bunch of very interesting things that have been happening, as we all probably know, with what's been happening at the UN. Trump's resolution, as wonderful it was, it rubbed a bunch of people the wrong way. And it's fairly obvious to know who those people were who Trump rubbed the wrong way. Obviously, he rubbed the Palestinian leaders the wrong way. And by the way, 90% of Palestinians polled have said that they would support a violent uprising to rebuff Trump's decision. So that's very, very interesting. Now, also, too, the Arab world has been rubbed the wrong way, and they've expressed outrage. The response of Saudi Arabia was interesting. They have actually muted a lot of that news to their own people. They have basically sent out limited sound bites. And I think the reason why is because of the new strategic alliance between Saudi Arabia and America. So I think there's a little bit of a kind of softening of what the blow of the news in regard to that to their own people. It should come as no surprise that the European Union has been rubbed the wrong way, and they have expressed in no uncertain terms that they do not agree with Donald Trump. And, of course, most importantly, the United Nations have been rubbed the wrong way. And they are the most anti-Israel body of nations. Yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. They are so heavily anti-Semitic is... I mean, it's just mind-blowing the amount of resolutions that they have passed against Israel when you compare all the other states that violate human rights. You know, the fact that we even have Saudi Arabia on the Human Rights Council, it's just insane. So the UN... intended to pass a revolution that would have rescinded President Trump's decision to nominate Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. And so Nikki Haley, God bless her, vetoed that resolution. And that was the news that came out from yesterday. And thank God for Nikki Haley. She's doing an absolutely brilliant job. So moving on from with what's happening in Israel, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going on among the nations. Most pointedly is the fact that the Western nations are continuing on in their death spiral, rejecting God and rejecting Christian values and embracing everything that will assure its demise, which is something that it never ceases to amaze me. It's almost as if the left double down. Like if you say white, they will say black. If you say, if you say one thing, they'll do the opposite because they will double down. That basically goes to show just how much they hate and detest Christianity. One example from here in Australia, we had you guys in America have the Greens Party as well, don't you?
Yeah, there is a light green party, yes.
Yeah, well, we have the same. They are very, very, well, we colloquially, jokingly call them the Watermelon Party because they're green on the outside, but they're red on the in the center. And that is so close to the truth. But about a few days ago, two senators, green senators, put up a big sign in their office that had Merry Christmas. They had crossed out Christmas, blotted out the word Christmas, and instead in its place they wrote non-denominational seasonal festivity. And of course... it drew the ire of all the conservative parties and drew the ire of basically normal, decent Australians who have, you know, who love Christmas. And it's just absolutely shocking that they would actually do that. But it's basically showing a trend. It's not just a trend here in Australia. It's a trend all over the world. As we see, we're seeing that the left hate Christmas, and the reason why they hate Christmas is because it represents Christianity. Now, of course, the hypocrisy of all this is the fact that the Greens fall over themselves every Ramadan to congratulate the Muslim community and to wish them Mubarak Ramadan. You know, it's just the hypocrisy is just astounding. Yet when it comes to Christian holidays, they have nothing but contempt. So, yeah. And by the way, the Greens are also working very, very hard to abolish Australia Day. Again, and this is another tactic of the left because they hate national patriotism. They absolutely detest it, you know. So, and this is not just a trend here in Australia. Again, we see the same thing in America. We see that on the college campus in Berkeley University, they were even debating whether they should have the American flag because they said it was too divisive. Can you believe? But and again, this is a trend that we see also happening in England as well. They banned St. George's Day from a particular city because they didn't want it to cause offence to other members of the community. And of course, we know exactly which members of the community they're talking about. So it's really interesting, Vincent. Like we are witnessing the strange demise of Western civilization. It's really like watching a train wreck in slow motion.
You know, it's interesting, Daniel, you're bringing that up because one of the main headline news stories right now, you've heard of the Hallmark Channel. I'm sure you have the Hallmark Channel in Australia, do you?
Yes.
Okay, so the Hallmark Channel,
yeah,
it may be
cable TV.
Right, okay, it's on cable. And so here's the deal. It may be hard for you to find someone close to you that doesn't love the network, especially during the Christmas season. Hallmark was actually the only non-news channel in the top 15 to see a substantial growth last year. Why? Because it's wholesome, predictable, family-friendly. For the most part, is a safe place to escape from the horrors of the rest of the world. There's no graphic sex scenes or gore. It's about feeling good. So unsurprisingly, the vile on the left are attacking it. Slate published a hate review of the network complaining about its around-the-clock Christmas movies. Listen to this. They quote, "They brim with white heterosexuals who exclusively, emphatically, and endlessly bellow Merry Christmas to every lumberjack and labradoodle they pass. They're centered on beauty pageant heroines and strong-jawed heroes with white nationalist haircuts," the Slate writer declared. So they complain there aren't enough gay people, feminists, and Muslims in the movies. And Slate also attacked what is called 42 hours of surgery. I mean, this is insane, is it not?
It really is, but it's also very insightful because the devil is playing his hand. We can see exactly where the attack is squarely aimed at. It's aimed at Christianity. I mean, all of those different characterizations that this writer of Slate had mentioned, is all, he's basically talking about the stereotypical cultural manifestation of Christianity. And again, the left hate that. They want to bring it down. And of course, we can't explain this without talking about cultural Marxism, because cultural Marxism is all about breaking down the cultural norms. It's all about, you know, see, with old Marxism, was between the bourgeoisie and the proletariat. So the bourgeoisie were the, you know, the business owners, the rich people who controlled everything and ran everything, and the proletariats were the working class. So Marx tried to bring about a war. This is all class warfare between the bourgeoisie and the proletariats. But of course, all that failed, and it failed in, well, it failed primarily in 1916 when the 1914 when the World War One broke out. Marx was really disillusioned because he had hoped that the people would rally and fight for their classes, but they didn't fight for their classes. They fought for their countries. So he was really upset about that because that basically everything fell apart in regard to that his theory. But what's happened is that through academics such as Antonio Gramsci, Gorgi Lukacs, and of course all of the academics from the Frankfurt School, they basically re-engineered Marxism. So it basically has went through a metamorphosis and has become more dangerous. It has basically been weaponized with minority groups. So, for example, the proletariat working class, the ones that Karl Marx envisaged who would rise up against the bourgeoisie, they've been replaced by minority groups. So they've been replaced by the LGBT. They've been replaced by Black Lives Matter. They've been replaced by Islam. They've been replaced by, you know, you name it, feminists. They've been replaced by all these minority groups. And so the left will absolutely champion the cause of all these minority groups in the hope that they will rise up against the social norms, okay? And what are the social norms? Well, because Western civilization is based on Christianity, Christianity is their number one target. So they, all of the social norms, such as the white race, now, why is it that they're specifically targeting the white race? Well, the white race is really behind the proliferation of Christianity. When you think about it, with the Enlightenment period and with the spread of Christianity from Christian Europe, the classical period, when you think of what Christianity has done, I mean, when you look at all of the villages and towns throughout Europe, they're all centered around a church. This is why Christianity was so central with Europe. And so, of course, Christianity is central in regard to the founding of America. Over 44,000 documents were surveyed by Houston University, and a very high proportion, I can't forget, I remember off the top of my head, but a very high proportion were of the quotes were taken directly from the Bible. So when you consider all these things and you consider the role that Christianity has played throughout our legal system, throughout our welfare programs, throughout the medical system with hospitals and things like that, when you consider the role that Christianity has played throughout our government, when you think that the role that Christianity has played throughout all our charities, when you think of the immense contribution of Christianity, it's no wonder that the left are frothing at the mouth, and they are they are hell-bent on a revolution, and this is a revolution where all these minority groups will be weaponized and will be empowered, who will be able to basically completely re-engineer society where it has completely been gutted of its Christian heritage. Now, what these people don't realize is that the branch that that they are literally sitting on the branch that they are trying to cut off. And when that happens and they cut off the branch that they're sitting on, all hell will break loose. And this is the future that we're facing.
Wow. Yeah, it's an absolutely spiritual war. And, let's just go a little bit deeper into the mind control in all of this and the conditioning of the mind. Hmm. You know, when you get to a place during Christmas that you're afraid to sing, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, you know, because all of a sudden the left and this anti-Christ, this anti, you know, movement that's in the world today, everything is suspect. Mm. Everything is put up to suspicion. So why are you dreaming of a white Christmas? You must be a white nationalist. And then eventually, and I've said this before, Dale, I really believe when you read the Bible, yeah, I mean, these are scary thoughts, but, you know, let me just give a few of what the scriptures have to say, beginning in the New Testament. We know that Jesus, when he was transfigured, his raiment was white as the light, and his countenance was white, and his raiment was white as snow. So we have white as light, white as snow. Then in Mark 9:3, exceeding white as snow, like no fullers on earth can white them. So then in Mark 16:5, there was an angel with a white garment. And in Luke 9:29, white and glistening. John 4, the harvest is white for, you know, for harvest. The two angels were in white sitting at the head. Then we had more angels in white. And then you get over here to Revelation, and this is really scary because it says in the book of Revelation, that the names in Sardis that overcome shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And then Revelation 3:5, he that overcomes shall be clothed in white raiment. And then in Revelation 3:18, and white raiment shall be given, they'll be clothed with. And Revelation 4:4, the elders are sitting clothed in white raiment. And, you know, it's a white horse. And in Revelation 6, a white robes were given unto every one of them. So now they have white robes on. That must be KKK. The Bible must be a white nationalist Bible. And so we're going to have to destroy that white nationalism because of the white robes. And again, Revelation 7:13, they were arrayed in white robes. And in Revelation 7:9, they were clothed in white robes. And they were made white in the blood of the Lamb. And so obviously this is a racist book, this Bible. And I foresee a day, in all sincerity, when the left and the Antichrist and the demonic will begin to accuse the Bible itself, the spiritual reality of what is being spoken, that this is a KKK book. It's not a book to be trusted. They're going to spin it in such a way that the minds of the masses will come under the delusion that the Bible is not a true book of spirituality, but a white man's Noah Webster, white man's book. Come on. I see it as clear as day. How about you?
Yeah, well, the writing's on the wall, isn't it? I mean, this is so... You really have to be lacking serious discernment not to see that there, all this coming. I mean, they are very, very conniving. And again, it just shows the devil's face, doesn't it? It really does. The days that we're living in, we can really, really see the devil's hand in this. And of course, the devil has two particular things that he is raging against, and it's really to do with the seed of Abraham, and that's the natural seed of Abraham, which is the Jewish people. We're seeing anti-Semitism skyrocketing at the moment. Ironically, the anti-Semitism is skyrocketing in the nations that have taken on the millions of Muslim refugees, so that shouldn't come as a surprise. But the other thing, then you have the natural seed of Abraham, which is the Jews, and then you have the spiritual seed of Abraham, which is us. You know, Christians, born again Christians, we are of the spiritual seed of Abraham, and because of that, the devil absolutely detests us, and so yeah, we're seeing all these things happening at the moment, and I think really we should be encouraged by them, because we know that his time is short. The devil is full of fury because he knows that his time is short. And also too, what I think is fascinating, Vincent, is the fact that the left are absolutely labeling anyone, for example, someone who is a conservative, someone who believes in limited government, someone who believes in the free market, someone who wants to adhere to the Constitution, you know, just good-hearted American people who love God and love their neighbor. And these people are branded as racists. These people are branded as Nazis. These people are branded as bigots and homophobes and every name under the sun. It's extraordinary. It really is funny, especially when they call us Nazis. That really is interesting, because what they're basically saying is that the Americans who went and fought in the Second World War, who fought Hitler and fought against the Nazi Germany, what they are basically saying is that those people have become Nazis, because the values that they embraced back then, that we have become the new Nazis, which is absolutely ridiculous, especially when they label Trump as a Nazi. I mean, Trump just recognized Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Could you imagine Adolf Hitler doing that? Of course not. It's ridiculous.
It certainly is. And we need to bring this up because it's a mind control. It's a conditioning that's happening in the world. I remember a movie. It was called Malcolm X. And Denzel Washington played in Malcolm X. And it was about the black Muslim movement in the United States of America. And in one of the scenes, he was in prison, and a Muslim man was teaching him. And he brings him to a Webster's dictionary, and he says, now listen, we're going to go into this Webster dictionary, and I'm going to show you something. So he looks up the word white, and there's Denzel in prison. He's looking, he's reading the word white, and here's what the Webster's dictionary says about white. Well, it reflects to the eye all the rays of the spectrum combined. It's not tinted with any of the other proper colors or their mixtures. It's having the color of pure snow, snowy. It's the opposite of black or dark. It goes on to say it's free from spot. The word white, literally in the dictionary, free from spot or blemish or from guilt or pollution. It means innocent and pure, white as the flame and as thy honor clear. And so, you know, he looked at those words, white, innocent, pure, you know, without blemish, without spot. And then he put in the word black. He looked up the word black, and he said, well, look at the word black in the dictionary. And the word black means destitute of light, incapable of reflecting it. And then he went on just a little bit further, and he saw that it meant black as night. And then it went on to dismal, gloomy, forbidding, destitute of moral light or goodness, wicked, mournful, calamitous, horrible, cruel. And so the Muslim in the movie Malcolm X was trying to show Denzel or Malcolm, look, this is a white man's world. The dictionary, Webster, was a white racist. It's all about white, and everything that is black, according to the white man, is dismal and gloomy and evil. And you know, it is in there. I mean, it's exactly what it says. But Jesus mentioned in the last days there'd be a racial explosion where race would rise against race and, you know, ethnos against ethnos. And they're really stirring this thing right now. I mean, the embers have been burning underground, but it's really ready to, I believe, they want to spark this into a forest fire all over the world.
Yes, absolutely. And remember, the whole thing of Marx was divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. It's all about causing division. Now, you know, and this is the strategy of the devil, dividing people, dividing and conquering. He cannot conquer without first dividing the people. And that's exactly what's happening. There is a huge rift that has gone on, that's going on in America, but not just in America, but all over the West, where he has the left and the right have been polarized. And this was not there. It wasn't even there 5 years ago, Vincent. This is the thing that's really amazing, because they have really, really ramped up over the past 5 years. I mean, I wasn't even aware of this whole, to be honest with you, I wasn't even aware of this whole left-right political spectrum 5 years ago. The only reason why I became awake to it, because I started to notice all this stuff that was going on within our culture. And the more I dug, the more my eyes were opened. And the chasm is extraordinary. Like the middle has gone, and now we just have this polar opposites with left and right. So I think when we look at the trajectory of that and where everything is heading, I think it's well, you know, as we talked last week, there are great signs in regard to the end times, but there's also going to be a lot of sobering things in regard to the end times as well. The whole thing to do with leftism is exponentially growing. It's snowballing. And when you think about their power, where their power comes from, from the majority of their voices. And this was the very first rule of Saul Alinsky in his book Rules for Radicals. He wrote, power is not just what you have, but what your enemy thinks that you have. That's very, very important, because their whole legitimacy is completely based on populism, on tribalism. This is why there's this huge irrational push to impeach Donald Trump. It's completely irrational, especially when you look at at Donald Trump's record so far being in office. I mean, the stock market is hitting record after record after record. The NASDAQ, the Dow Jones, is doing so unbelievably well. There's massive consumer confidence going on. Unemployment is at its lowest rate. Yet the left are still fuming. They are absolutely frothing at the mouth, and they are looking at everything they can possibly do to impeach Donald Trump. It's absolutely extraordinary set of circumstances that we're witnessing at the moment. And again, all their power is coming from this galvanized force of populism that's generated by the elites and by the mainstream media. The mainstream media are in on this. They are in on this. The elites are in on this. And now we're just beginning to see, which is really worrisome, major corporations are now joining in on this. We saw this with the firing of James Damore from Google, simply because he highlighted that there were scientific differences between men and women. And because he highlighted that difference, Google fired him. So it's worrying also in the sense that YouTube are now censoring conservative videos. Twitter has now registering conservative figures by removing their blue tick, their verification tick. It's really interesting set of circumstances that we're entering into at the moment, where conservative voices and Christians are under increasing attack, and Google is now basically scaling down the ranking results of conservative websites. So if you try to search for a particular topic, it will list all the leftist websites first, and then you have to keep burying it down until you find the conservative websites. Interesting, isn't it?
Oh, it's very interesting. And I want to throw something at you along with that thought. We're kind of bouncing around here today, but for some reason, I've been thinking about this. I haven't heard it anywhere. I just kind of been thinking about it. Came into my mind a couple of days ago. I was thinking about Constantine. You're talking about Donald Trump. You're talking about the achievements, the advancements. And so I'm just sitting here right now, and who does this sound like to you? This is during the reign of the Roman Emperor Constantine the Great. Christianity began to transition to the dominant religion of the Roman Empire. Historians remain uncertain about Constantine's reasons for favoring Christianity. Sounds like Donald Trump is favoring Christianity. And theologians and historians have often argued about which form of early Christianity he subscribed to. There is no consensus among scholars as to whether he adopted his mother Helena's Christianity in his youth or, as claimed by Eusebius, encouraged her to convert to the faith himself. Some scholars question the extent to which he should be considered a Christian emperor. Constantine saw himself as an emperor of the Christian people. If this made him a Christian is the subject of debate, although he allegedly received a baptism shortly before his death. So his decision to cease the persecution of Christians in the Roman Empire was a turning point for early Christianity and sometimes referred to as the triumph of the church. And so I'm thinking about Trump today, and I'm thinking, are we looking at a modern day Constantine where Christianity and the state joined forces and went to war? You know, war is developing all around us. And as Constantine, you know, was favorable to Christians, we now have a president that is favorable to Christians. The Oval Office is surrounded by evangelicals. You know, is there any connection here that bears witness with your heart about something like this?
You know what? I would rather liken Donald Trump to Josiah. I think that's probably more of an accurate description. I see, as we know with Josiah, we had a wonderful religious reformation. He discovered the books of the law, and he basically made reformations from the top down. But the problem was, is that the majority of the people were wicked. And as a result of that, it was Josiah made a bad decision in confronting the Egyptian army, and he got killed. And Israel fell back into idolatry. I am concerned about the trajectory in where everything is headed, and because of this reason, the educational institutions, the universities. Now, remember that universities are the culture formation institutions. Universities are what forms the culture. And every single university, from, of course, there are exceptions. There are outliers out there where there are a handful of some Christian colleges, etc. But the vast majority of universities have all been captured by the left. They've all been captured, and they're all basically sprouting out cultural Marxism. The whole class warfare in regard to the minority groups and how the minority groups need to be encouraged and need to rise up, and they need to bring about a revolution in which the social norms are brought down. All the college campuses, on every college campus, you will see this happening, especially within the humanities, the women's studies, et cetera, et cetera. The left have captured them all, and this is what is really sobering, because they are brainwashing the next generation. We are losing our children to the other side. And this is, if anything needs to happen to turn this around, we need to have a reformation of the education system. And,
Now that you've said
that. I mean, I've got some, yeah.
Yeah. Let me just add this in there, Daniel. Now that you brought that up, British parents were stunned to learn this week the government is considering human sexuality lessons for elementary school children. That includes online porn, sexting, homosexuality, and transgenderism. According to the United Kingdom's Sun newspaper, the British government is seeking input from parents, teachers, and students regarding its sex education requirements, which have remained untouched for nearly three decades. And Education Secretary Justin Greening has already announced that sex ed will be compulsory in all schools in the UK, including parochial schools run by the Catholic Church and Church of England. So the government bureaucrats are arguing that current curricula do not properly address modern issues. So here you have the government. My gosh, the British government is going to put little children before computers to show them online pornography to educate them. How crazy is that?
It's what do you say? It's mind-boggling.
It is.
If you were told this five years ago, you wouldn't have believed it. But such is the delusion, such is the madness that has descended upon Western civilization. I mean, you mentioned Justin Greening in that report that you said. Justin
Correct.
Greening, she's a lesbian. She's a lesbian. So she already has her own agenda carved out with this. You know what she said in regard to the whole gender bathrooms thing over in Britain? She said that after homosexual marriage, after gay marriage, she said transsexual rights is the next third wave of human of rights to come about after same sex marriage. So it's just geez. What do
so
I
she's the
I mean
education.
We tried yeah she is.
She's the education secretary of the British government, and she is saying it is compulsory in all schools, even in the church. And so, again, here's the true colors of the homosexual agenda marching through every, like you said at the very beginning when we began broadcasting, through every institution. And this is the jihad that is happening around the world.
Yeah, it is. It is. And you need to keep in mind that one of the major enemies of the left is the parent, is the natural family. They call the natural family the bourgeoisie family, the bourgeoisie family. So can you understand that? I mean, we talked about the bourgeoisie being the elite, the ruling class. Well, they call natural families the bourgeoisie family, and that they are an enemy, a major enemy. And so how do you do that? Well, you need to detach the yearnings. You need to detach the dependency of the child from its parents. You need to detach the dependency of the child from his or her parents. I mean, can you see how satanic that is? It's just mind-blowingly satanic, but this is their agenda. They want the child to depend on the government, not on their parents. See, as I've said before in previous broadcasts, there are two main obstacles to a socialist revolution, and that is two institutions. It's the institution of the family and the institution of the church. Mm-hmm. Those are the two institutions that stand in the way of a socialist revolution. And so, and this is the genius of gay marriage, is the fact that it attacks both institutions at the same time. And so with sex education on these minors, this is an outright attack on the family unit, because it's basically indoctrinating them, getting them. I mean, of course, once you expose these children to pornography, it's only like trying to put out a fire with gasoline. And it's only just going to exacerbate the issue. It's going to get these young people hooked on pornography from the youngest age. And, of course, this causes angst within the family. As we know, with studies that have been done with children that have been dependent on pornography, it's spiraled them into depression. And, of course, these kids grow up dysfunctional and more likely will turn to the government for help and dependency. So it's a really dark, demonic, and nefarious agenda that these elites are pushing.
Well, there's a push going on everywhere, Daniel. I mean, you just look at the news lines today. Even in Guam, officials are releasing nuke attack survival videos. We began the broadcast with North Korea testing anthrax on their ballistic missiles. You know, Russia has practiced for full-scale invasion of Europe. It goes on down the list of all these crazy things. In the meantime, the churches are now getting into something called spiritual destiny reading cards, where it's like a tarot card, but you're supposed to be giving people their destiny. I mean, the crazy things that are going on in the world today, and the call of God to his church to really prepare for what's coming down the pike. Just an amazing moment on the world stage.
Yeah, and I just think it's interesting because we're seeing both the extreme manifestation of the sin, and while at the same time we're seeing the judgment appear for that sin. So we're seeing the West being so arrogant and overweening in its pride in its pursuing this sin. And while it's doing the West at the moment is – all these liberal nations are basically flipping the bird up at God. You know what I mean when I say that? I don't know whether that works in America. But they are giving the middle finger salute at God while they're pursuing sin as hard as they possibly can. Mm. I mean, the fact that for New Year's Eve in Australia, they are going to light up the Harbour Bridge – in the rainbow flag with a waterfall of fireworks with the rainbow flag to celebrate the yes vote. I mean, if that isn't an outright, how can you say, arrogant,
in your face,
blatant, yep, you got it. In God's sight, they are spitting in the face of God. And God is a patient God, but his patience is not infinite. His patience will eventually run out. And when that happens, oh, my Lord.
Yeah, but Daniel, you know the problem here? You know the problem? The problem is if you go back to Genesis chapter 19 and you go to a little town called Sodom and you find a man by the name of Lot who has just welcomed two angels into his house. Well, the homosexuals of that city wanted to bring those angels out and to know them, which means to have sexual intercourse with them.
Yeah.
And what does Lot say? He says, "You men, do not do so wickedly." And their response was, "Who made you a judge? We're going to do worse to you now." And so, everybody says, don't judge. And Jesus said, judge not, lest you be judged. And yet, in the New Testament, we're also told that we are to judge. And so, that's a conversation I want to have probably tomorrow about judging, because you sound judgmental about what they're going to do in Australia, for New Year's Eve. So what? They're going to light it up. You're supposed to go along with it and accept it and tolerate it, right?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I was sort of having a little bit of a debate today with somebody in regard to the whole thing to do with judging. And you're right, it's a bit of a tricky topic, because the vast majority of people believe that they have their own understanding of what judgment is, which is completely different from what the Bible says that judgment is.
That's right. That is right. And, you know, if the church is not going to judge, you have to read 1 Corinthians 5. And, you know how I bottom line it with Luke chapter 7, where Jesus said, judge not lest you be judged, condemn not lest you be condemned, etc. You know, everybody at that time was under the law. There was no human being on the face of the planet that did not offend God. The whole world, according to Romans 3, was guilty before God. So nobody really had a right to judge in the sense of pointing the critical finger and condemning. But in the new covenant, you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and Paul tells the church, are we not to judge those within? And it's the same Greek word.
Right. Krino.
And so the problem is, if you judge someone and you do the same thing, well, now you're drawing the wrath of God against your own life. But the righteousness and the people of light must stand out, and to distinguish, you have to, and it is biblical to do so. Final thoughts before we get running here, brother.
Just to tap on the tail end of that, there are two areas with judging that are bad, and that's judging that according to mere appearances, which is what John 7 is all about, and hypocritical judgment. Those are the two areas where judgment is wrong. But there
Very
is such a thing as a right judgment. That's what Jesus said. He said, don't judge by mere appearances, but use righteous judgment. So we are instructed to use righteous judgment, but where it gets wrong is when we judge by mere appearances. That's when we run in and not taking the whole circumstance in regard to it without getting all the facts first. And the other one is hypocritical judgment. Jesus didn't say that it was wrong to take the speck out of your brother's eye. He was encouraging us to take the speck out of our brother's eye. But he's just saying, but if you have a log in your own eye, then you need to remove that first before you can take the speck out of your brother's eye. So there's nothing wrong with judging at all. Remember, John the Baptist called out Herod the Tetrarch over Herodias, over his brother's wife. He called him out and said, you shall not have your brother's wife. Now, many people in our day would say, John is judging, he's judging. But he wasn't. He wasn't judging. He was using righteous judgment. And what did Jesus say about John the Baptist? He said that he is the greatest prophet born of a woman.
Amen. Well said, Daniel Seckham. We are coming to a time where we're going to transition here. My beloved wife, Patricia, has begun her live radio program on the Omega Radio Network. She's up right after us. And so, Daniel, I want to say thank you. What a great way to finish it, because I want to get into full dialogue about this issue of judgment. You just simplified it in a simple, very, very simple way, but very plain to recognize what is actually being said here. So I deeply appreciate that. And we'll look forward to talking with you again, dear brother. God bless you and your family. And as always, thank you for joining me on The Watchman here on the Omega Radio Network. We'll talk to you again real soon. Daniel Seckham, calling in from Australia.
God bless you.
Shalom. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to a quick little break. When we come back, Patricia Joy Xavier going live right here on the Omega Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick break.
If you like what you hear, then you'll be happy to know there's much more from where that came from. Go to OmegaRadio.org and click the More tab to view our full broadcast lineup. Omega Radio is on the air around the world 24/7 with programs featuring Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ, Rick Wiles, with True News and Common Sense with Dave Hodges. Check out the complete lineup for showtimes. Then join us at 9 a.m. Central and again at 2, 7 at midnight. light for the watchman. Everyday pastor Vincent Xavier unleashes the sword of the Spirit chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to better equip you, the saints. It's important during these last days to know what the Bible has to say so you're in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. Listening to The Watchman is a great place to start. Go to OmegaRadio.org and tune in 9 a.m. Central and again at 2, 7, and midnight. The Watchman on the Wall is looking out for you.
What a program. Wasn't that exceptional? And the reason I believe it's so exceptional is the same mind of Christ in Australia is here. And I believe all over the world, thinking in the same manner, in the same way. And that is what's told to us to do in 1 Corinthians 1:6, that we would all have the same mind. We would have the same judgment. There again, the word judgment is being brought up. But there is a place for judgment as long as our hearts are right. I believe that's the simplicity of it all. But God is giving such wonderful information to us through His Holy Spirit to understand the depths of the work of the enemy in the earth today. And I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier. And today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We are on chapter 2. We had just finished chapter 1, laying down the foundation of understanding about the demonic presence. And now we're in chapter 2, spiritual warfare, devils, spiritual enemies. And they are. They are. What you're seeing happening in the earth today with the Antichrist spirit is a spirit of darkness and evil, and it is being moved and directed by devils. I'm not making this light. It is the truth, and the darkness is slowly taking over the earth. But there will be a remnant people who will rise up with the true light of Jesus Christ. And that's why I make this declaration. Church, please hear me. Devils are the spiritual enemies of the body of Christ. It is our responsibility to deal with them. Remember what is written in Ephesians 6:12? For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. As the Holy Spirit said through Paul in Ephesians, the way we wage this warfare is we can go on and talk forever regarding the dark things that are taking place in the lack of understanding and deception that is unbelievable to anyone with true light is going on. We could discuss that and all the different ratifications from those works. But there is something we can do. We can learn how to fight in the spirit. We can't fight in the flesh. This war will go on and on until the return of the Lord. But His return will come for a remnant people without spot and wrinkle. Is it going to be you? Is it going to be me? We discussed in chapter 2 yesterday that we must also remember that a devil oppressing a believer is an illegal trespasser. He is an alien taking residence by unlawful means. Now, we talk about aliens, and it's a very popular subject right now, aliens and spaceships. But let me tell you who the true aliens are. They are unlawful, and they are devils oppressing the believer. And they can manifest themselves in a way that they desire with certain rights if we allow it. And you're going to hear more and more about illegal trespassers and more and more about aliens taking residence. But let me tell you, they are deceptive and they are demonic. All the words that are spoken about such things. And don't be deceived by thinking they're from outer space. They are. They're from another realm, from the demonic realm. They're from the second heaven. Who occupies that second heaven? Satan and his demons. And we also discussed that you must know that these evil spirits, devils, do not hover around the Christian like many have thought, but they seek to enter into the soul realm and take up residence within the Christian who has left an opening through sin. And sin is confusion. That's the very stress that sin will bring into a person's life. What is right? What is wrong? And confusion comes in, and there is no absolute, and it boggles the mind. And so we're not supposed to be unconfused. We're supposed to be unconfused, clear of mind, clear of thought. Now, the soul realm is that part of you, and I want to go into that again. The soul realm is that part of you in which the sin of Adam is manifested. Can you understand this? Your spirit is that part of you which needs to be first renewed and made right. Your soul is that part of you which needs to be restored, saved, and delivered. And for a deeper understanding of the functions of your spirit and soul, I would suggest that you review chapter one again. Keep reviewing, keep looking over these various writings so that you become clear and not confused as to what the truth really is. Now, let's go back to regarding devils, because that's why I wrote the book. They're evil spirits, and the first thing we must understand is that all devils are liars and deceivers, and they cannot be trusted in anything. Their whole idea is to bring confusion to your mind and cause you to be degraded in that confusion. The truth is not in them. They have no truth in them, saith the scriptures. If we could grab one of these evil beings, think about it, in our hands and wring it out like a dishcloth, we would not find one drop of truth in it. And that lack of truth gives it its power. This is something to meditate on, to really think about. Think about it. They are so separated from God and truth and righteousness that they have nothing of value, nothing of goodness, nothing of truth. Truth is beautiful. I love truth. It's a shining light. It brings peace and joy to the heart because it works. I love truth. And there is only one truth. There aren't many truths according to whatever you want to receive as your truth. You're taught that in the universities and colleges today. And what does it bring? Confusion. And what does confusion bring? A house divided. And what does a house divided bring? A falling away. The United States of America is becoming divided in its ideas and concepts and thoughts. And it's becoming weak because of it. A house divided will fall. It's in scripture also. So is it any wonder that Jesus mostly referred to them as unclean spirits? I can think of nothing that would be more unclean than entities without anything of God in them. That's how dark and dismal and ugly they can be. Can you think of anything worse to touch, let alone to allow to reside within you through sin? Well, what is sin, you may ask yourself? Sin, basically, all things stem from that bring destruction. Almighty, the King of the universe and universes, created all things. And sin is unbelief that Jesus Christ was the Son of God on earth as God. came so that he could be familiar with our sins and familiar with death and bring the salvation of his glory to us. He's able to do that, and he paid a dear price for it on the cross when he shed his blood for forgiveness of sin, that we no longer have to walk in sin. We are totally and completely delivered from that damaging work of the enemy that happened 6,000 years ago in the garden. Yet millions of Christians, out of ignorance, are doing just that this very moment. They are touching the unclean thing. We must be keenly aware. We have to be keenly aware of their nature if we are going to successfully engage and defeat them on the battleground of spiritual warfare. And it is a battleground. The battleground is our soul. That is what the battle is all about. The angels of God and the unholy angels of the fallen ones are battling over our very soul. And so the battleground of spiritual warfare, we have the right to cast them out into dry places, get them out of our soul realm, cleanse our soul by the warfare of faith and believing. And what are we believing in? The blood that was shed to overcome the works of the enemy and to deliver us from sin. It's altogether wonderful. In the following chapters, I'm going to instruct you from the Word on key ways to stop Satan's attacks and how to defeat him every time. Not just some of the time, but every time. And to stop him from ever stealing from you again. We must, however, if we're going to do this, first remember and never forget that he and his devils will most often come as angels of light or in some form that we have been deceived into believing is not devil activity, but some natural phenomena, such as virus, bacteria, epidemic, lifestyle, or something other than what it truly is, demonic warfare on man. That's what it really is. It's a demonic warfare on man. So we have to understand that he is stealing life from us. He's bringing us into death. And we must never forget that he and his devils will most often come as angels of light. What are angels of light? They come as truth in deception. They're really not truth. But they look good, sound good, and you buy into it. They are completely able to deceive any that open the door to any in their lives. And what is sin? It's missing the mark. What is that mark? The mark of believing in our Lord Jesus Christ. Once that happens, you are an open door to much activity of the enemy. Confess that sin of unbelief. Go on your knees and say, I am sorry that I have not believed in the truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, who came upon this earth to save my wretched soul from death, so that my soul could have eternal bliss, live forever in a most incredible way, ways that mankind haven't yet even understood. Man has not seen or heard what God has in store for those who loved him. And who loves him? Those who will believe on him. I had a father who passed away not long ago. He was 100 years old. And not until he was 92 did he accept Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. And you know what? That changed his attitude, that changed his life, and that gave him the peace to endure to 100 years old, in which he wanted. Prior to that, he would battle. When I would ask him, Dad, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that he died for you, that he took away your sin, that everything you have done, every guilt you have felt, every shame that has been a burden to you is removed from your soul. Do you believe that? And he would say, no, I don't. I believe Jesus Christ was a good man and a good man alone. I said, so then you don't believe that he was God on earth? No, I believe he's a good man. I said, you made that choice, Dad. Can certainly make the choice to believe. Which way will you choose? And if you can choose one way, why can you not choose another? And he said, well, it doesn't seem right to me. I said, I'll tell you what you do. You go before him, go before your Lord, or our my Lord, and get on your knees and say, Lord, if you are real, what she is saying, my daughter Patricia is saying to me is true, show me. And by those few words that were given in prayer, he had the revelation of who Jesus Christ really was. And when he passed away with that knowledge and believing in his soul that there was an advocate for his sins and he no longer had to be guilty. He no longer had to be ashamed. And believe me, he was very guilty and felt very ashamed of any past sin he committed. Harder on himself than anyone would have been. But with the forgiveness of sin, he was a free man. His conscience was clear, and he was going where all clear conscience abode. And when your conscience is clear, it is the most incredible experience there is. Not to debate, oh, did I do right? Did I do wrong? But to know and be led by the Holy Spirit through a clear conscience that you did right, and you know you did right. The peace is beyond estimation. Anything that I can explain. So in the following chapters, I will instruct you from the Word on key ways to stop Satan's attacks and how to defeat him every time. And if you desire a ministry and you're in the church and you already receive Christ as your personal Savior, and you desire a ministry in deliverance, and you had best desire one if you intend to follow after Jesus and take up your cross, as he instructs in Matthew 10:38, then you must become strong, knowing the instruction of our Lord through his word, so that Satan will not be able to trick and deceive you. This is the warfare. Will you be tricked? Will you be deceived by the evil one? Unless you know the word in truth, unless you know the word of God in clarity, you could be. You must be alert and know that. As Jesus warned us in Mark 13:22, false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show signs and wonders and in order, if possible, to lead the elect astray. And many are being led astray today because those that have the power of darkness are causing them to believe that Jesus Christ is not the way and the truth and the life. In fact, they're finding the worldly, fleshy ways and manners like communism and things of the like, which has taken its residence recently. Well, when I say recently, at least in the last 4 years, nobody recognized it in the beginning, but it's taking its seat and it's becoming more powerful every day. But I want you to know you have a greater power in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by his residence within you, by asking him into you through the Holy Spirit. Something you will begin to learn is that many Christians do not want to get rid of an indwelling evil spirits, or they will tell you that they are not ready. You will find that they are either embarrassed, a spirit of pride, and do not want to admit their problems. And generally, because of some so-called position of importance that they have or authority in a church body, though they desperately need help. Or it could be that they are afraid. They have a spirit of fear that someone may find out that they have an evil spirit and need deliverance. Well, what is that? That is ultimate pride. Not to want to be delivered from the bondage of the evil one, bondage of Satan and his devils, because somebody will know that they had evil spirits and needed to be delivered. Listen, we've all had the attachment of evil spirits. Satan has ruled this world. God said he was the ruler of the world because we gave it over to him in the garden. But Jesus Christ bought it back on the cross. So what are we concerned about? We all have come in to the work of salvation in our lives through sin. Even our parents, each and every one of us, have sinned and come short of the glory of God as we were born in sin. So what's the big deal? Why be prideful about it? Get rid of these undeserving dwellers. Don't give them any more food to eat to stay alive within you. Get rid of them. Cast them out and admit that you have been vexed by evil spirits. You can tell by your emotions. You can tell by the way you're acting. You can say, Lord, I prayed. Nothing happened. Paul cautions us in Ephesians that our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of this present darkness, rulers of an unseen world and many wicked spirits. And the same is true for Christians today. Do you find yourself oppressed and depressed with wounds so deep and pain so fierce that your spiritual life is crippled? Has that happened to you? Do you read the Bible, pray, and seek counsel seemingly without relief? It happens again and again. If you feel that your fight is a spiritual battle with little or no success, something may have invaded you. Look at it. Don't put yourself in position of teachings that have not been correct, but have been watered down and lost its power. Don't put yourself in that. Start rethinking. Putting you into a state of confusion is what it will be if you don't think clearly according to the Word of God and understand His Word by the Holy Spirit. The problem may be beyond psychology. Running to psychologists will cover the wound. But what it really is spiritual warfare. So you don't want anything covered. If you have a wound that's infested, you don't want to just cover it. You want that wound cleaned out from its roots. You want it cleansed, purified, made holy, clean. Holy, by the way, means whole in spirit, mind, and body. Cast out those invaders. Start understanding how it could be done. That's why I wrote my book, so you and I can work together in understanding how this is and what happens. So if you desire ministry and deliverance, please, please go to Matthew 10:38. He instructs you there. And here's another thing we need to know. That the Christians don't want to get delivered often because the spirits are afraid of being cast out. They don't want to be cast out. So they put fear in the believer's heart. Don't go there. That isn't a true word of God. It's not in the Bible. It's not scriptural. Well, that's a lie. It is. The enemy of your soul will cause you to want to turn away and run from being delivered of these evil spirits. They don't want you to be delivered. They want to have your soul. That's what they want. So don't listen to that. If you have a problem and you know you do, and your emotions are all mixed up and confused and being driven by another force, get delivered. Get my book, read how to, so that you may help yourself and others. And then we must never forget the abominable teaching that good Christians cannot have evil spirits. You know, others have excused their problems as some natural thing. They believe that if they did not have afflictions, they would not be as God intended them, that they have to suffer. Well, yes, we do suffer. We suffer from a lack of knowledge. We allow things that we don't battle and fight when God has given us the power to do so in his name and gave us his authority and salvation. Oh, God, help us. Unfortunately, you will find these elements in so-called Christians much too often in many different denominations. We have to begin to have a clear mind about the Word of God. We have to understand his word as it was meant to be understood, not clouded and changed by erroneous teachings. That is the work of the enemy. And the most diabolical outcome of all is seen in those who have walked in agreement with the evil spirits for so long that the spirits have become an inherent part of their personalities and characters. You can see it in their physical moves. You can see it in their eyes. You can see that they have been an inherent part of that individual, these spirits I'm speaking of. So we will go on tomorrow further. And you have questions regarding what you have heard? Please email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com and ask for my book. It will transform your life. God bless you, and you are loved.